As we kick off hour number two here on Sunday morning on Robinhood Radio, it is time for Sporting a Cause, sportingacause.com, of course, the website run by Willie Hallahan, where Willie blogs and also has a chronological calendar of fundraising events that are all somehow, some way, sports-related. And Willie checks in with us every week, and we see what's going on. Willie, nice to speak to you again today.
Good morning, Marshall. Always great to talk to you. We have a few calendar items. There seems to be ramping up a little bit. The late summer and early autumn season is always the busiest on my calendars, at least. And with changes in the pandemic and bit by bit, events are starting to come back. Some are still virtual or canceled, but some are making the effort to try to pull it off. And I'm going to talk about those today. I've talked about this before. The Connecticut FKT Challenge has been ongoing since June and will continue through almost the end of September. And this is a virtual event. It was designed to be one. It's organized by Steep Endurance, which is a for-profit event planning entity, and they host they're kind of almost extreme running events. They're longer than the 5 and 10Ks that typically we see. And they host them in nice places like preserves and state parks and so forth, and trails. And then they give part of the proceeds to those very same entities. But what they've done here for this one is they've identified 16 trails that are at least 15 miles long or longer. And if you run them all during this time period, that's like over 600 miles, and you can get a prize for it. And they host other events, too, like at Mohawk Mountain. They do it at 10K, which is kind of a short race, but they're running up mountainsides, if you can imagine that. And Macedonia State Park and then Washington Depot. And anyway, they have a fair number of events around here. But this is an ongoing one. I've talked about it before just because it continues. It's like a two-month-long thing. And that's great for the people who like to run and get to see the Connecticut trails. That's a great thing. Everybody wins there. Today was also supposed to be the tour of the Litchfield Hills, which they officially canceled, but the organizers hope that people will still do it in a more virtual way. It's a bicycling event, but a ride, not a race. People just ride. They had a choice of like five or six different routes, which range from 12 miles up to 100 miles. And they go all over the place around the Litchfield Hills. It's a big deal. You know when that event's going on because you see bicyclists everywhere. And, again, the organizers hope that people will still do it and most importantly, donate to the Cancer Care Fund of the Litchfield Hills, which is the beneficiary of this event. They take care of cancer patients. They do really good work there. And the event, when it's being held officially, can raise $90,000. And the organizers hope to be able to recoup a little bit of that. So that's today. And it could be any time. I mean, today was officially the date that it was supposed to be held. But when we go virtual, the days and the places don't matter that much. So if the spirit moves you, go ahead and do it and write a check to the cause. That's what it's all about. And I think, Marshall, this is a good, after just talking about a bicycle ride, I want to take a minute to talk about the dynamics of bicycles and cars. I do it every year. I blog about it because it's an ongoing issue. It always will be because I see no solution to it. But I guess the best we can do is be mindful of the problems and try to be safe about it. The main issue, of course, with bicycles and cars is they go at different speeds. That's the main issue. They're sharing the same road, but they go at vastly different speeds. Cars are going, 40 miles an hour on average and on the country roads, and that's where this is the biggest issue. Bicycles are going typically less than 20 miles an hour in the teens and slower if they're going uphill. And they just get in each other's way. And maybe it would help if each side, and they are opposing sides, there's no question about it, that if cars and bicycles understand what each other's rights are. Now, the bicycles have the right to the road. A lot of cars, they'll see a cyclist riding maybe a foot and a half to 2 feet into the lane, and they see red. They think they got no right to be there, but they do. They have, in the eyes of state laws, and these are states regulate these rules, a bicycle is a car for all practical purposes. They have the same rights to the road, but they have the same they have the right to the lane, but they also have to comply with signs and so forth. You have to stop at a stop sign. You have to signal if you're turning, all that sort of thing, which a lot of cyclists do not do. But anyway, they have the right to the road, and when you're riding around our secondary roads, you'll see that there are no shoulders for the most part. You know, that's the perfect scenario is when you got 3 or 4 feet off the side of the road, off to the right of that white line, where you can ride and everybody can stay out of each other's way. But around here, let's take the undermountain roads, for example. There's one in Falls Village, there's one over in Copaic, and there's one in Salisbury. Nice places to ride, and none of them have shoulders. And to make matters worse, they are winding roads with blind turns and hills and so forth. And the hardest thing for a car to do is when they come up behind a bicyclist who's coming up a hill, so he's down to like 3 miles an hour, approaching a hill crest or a corner where you can't see anything coming the other way, and that car has to slow down to that 2 or 3 miles an hour and wait until they can safely pull out around the bike and pass. That's hard for a car to do, but they got to do it. I think this year, I have a lot of these cycling events on my calendar, but I think this year, maybe because of the pandemic, I don't know, maybe because we've had such good weather, there are a lot of cyclists on the road and walkers. I tend to walk, put in a plug for the walkers while I'm at it. I walk 3 miles a day, and I'm often going down 44 in the Canaan. And when you're walking, you walk against the traffic. And whenever there's a truck coming, I put my head down. I always wear a hat because a truck will take my hat off. They go so fast and so close to me that it'll just blow my hat off if when they go by. So we're only inches away from a disaster, whether you're walking or riding a bike and dealing with traffic. So just be safe out there. If you're a cyclist, know that you don't ride two abreast. You ride single file and take only as much of the lane as you need. But also understand that you got to stop at stop signs and move into the middle of a lane if you're going to make a left-hand turn and signal with your hand that you're going to do that. You have to do that. And cars understand that bikes are just little versions of yourselves. So that's my rant about bicycling. Be safe out there. Everybody's trying to, enjoy the countryside and get to where they're going. Let's all do it safely. Stay alive. Getting back to the calendar, next Saturday, the 8th, is the Sweltering Summer Ultra 8 Hours and 5K. That's one of those extreme events that's being held up in Pittsfield. It's virtual, but people are still encouraged to go to the site anyway. It's at Clapp Park up in Pittsfield. Because it's an extreme event, as soon as people start running, they separate quickly anyway, so you're pretty much out of socially distancing by virtue of the length of the event. And hopefully they can raise some money for Moments House, which is a nonprofit that helps Berkshire County people who are suffering from cancer. Also next Saturday is the Sharon Sprint Triathlon. This is going off. And it starts at 8 a.m. It's been doing it for a long time. There's no race day registration. I think that's one of the things we may see a permanent change to events. In an effort, if you are holding your event, in an effort to keep people from bunching up, congregating, registration, you know, people get there and they register, they pay, they get their instructions and so forth. It's always a big group of people. In an effort to eliminate that, you do all that ahead of time. You pay, you register and everything at home, online, and so that when you get to the event, there's none of that milling around. If you haven't registered yet and you want to, the contact information for the Sharon Rec Commission is on my Sporting a Cause site. And not for nothing, the triathlon, there's a bicycle element to that too. So there'll be bicycles on the roadways over in the Sharon area next Saturday, along with their water swim, their half-mile swim, and run. Next Sunday, the 9th, was supposed to be the Torrington Road Race. It was going to be the 49th year. I have a lot of events that have been around a long time, but that's one of the longest on my calendar. And sadly, they've decided to cancel. They just didn't see any way that they could pull it off safely. It always attracts a lot of runners. That has always benefited several charities, Charlotte Hungerford Hospital, but also the Torrington Trails Network. And a lot of people might not know this, but they have quite a network of trails over in the Torrington area. They have at least 12 or so, many of which interconnect, so you can go from one to another. And it's a pretty impressive network of trails that people around here especially might just not even be aware of. Also next Sunday, the 9th, is the 32nd annual Ancrum Fire Company Golf Tournament. This is one of the first golf tournaments to actually be held this year. That's over at the Undermountain Golf Course. It's a $75 entry fee, also in advance. No tournament day registration. You got to do all that in advance just to avoid the aforementioned crowding aspect of an event. Lunch and dinner will be there, but it'll be boxed. The lunch will be boxed, and you take it with you in your cart, and dinner will be boxed to go. And the last item, Marshall, I just saw it, is the sadly that the IMSA Northeast Grand Prix, which was had been scheduled for Lime Rock Park originally in July, and then it got moved to September, now has been moved away from Lime Rock Park completely to the Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's going to be a big hit for locals, both the fans and all the businesses that always benefit when the cars come to town, so to speak. But there are still a couple other calendar items for Lime Rock Park. The historic festival is still scheduled for September 3rd through 7th. That's a big, big, very popular deal. And also the Trans Am Fall Classic in October, mid-October. So there's you're losing one event. Well, it's actually more than one. One was lost early in the season. This one's just moved. The IMSA is moving to Carolinas. But you have two major events coming later in the fall.
And what you hope is that this is not a precursor of, okay, they moved it down there and it's successful down there, and that IMSA event might not come back to Lime Rock Park. This is all things that we worried about as supporters of Lime Rock Park for the businesses in our tri-state region who just make there's millions of dollars when these national events come into Lime Rock Park.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's just not anecdotal. That's for real. I've been in restaurants and bars and so forth in the area on a race weekend, and the difference is huge. Restaurants are packed, and it's good. Summer and fall tend to be good times of year for them anyway, but still, every one of them will tell you that they benefit hugely from Lime Rock events.
All right, Willie, hopefully the sun will be shining brightly next weekend.
Yes, let us pray.
All right, have a good weekend, Willie.
You too, Marshall. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.